did. Kirkland's wag pulled into an alley. Then he stepped out, addressing his sec men. Ryan drew a bead on the doctor, intending to shut him down once and for all.
Incoming!
Ryan's lungs rebelled against the dust, and his eye teared, but he maintained his grip on the Steyr nonetheless.
What the hell was that?
Rocket launcher. One of the small wags was packing one. Looked like an RPG-7.
Reloads?
Yeah, they can be reloaded, if they got them.
After making sure all of the companions were moving around, Ryan crawled back to the edge of the roof. Down in the street, the circus wag was plowing through the barricade that had been erected in front of the hotel. Handsome Wyatt hung on to the outside of the circus wag. Ryan recognized the man, even with the white grease paint staining his face. And Handsome Wyatt recognized him right back. Ryan brought up the Steyr and leveled it. Before he could get the man in the open sights, however, the M60 gunner opened up.
Here they come! More sick men! More clowns in the building!
Ryan avoided the front of the building, which was still taking a barrage of fire. He peered into the alley, spotting one of the pickups pulling to a stop to disgorge more of the jackers. The front door below was blown open, and they forced their way inside. The rooftop was fast becoming a killing zone.
Carter! Why don't you come out and play, you one-ass bastard?
Get that rope ready, Jack. We're gonna need it.
Jack nodded, then strapped his gear around him. He coiled the end of the 100-foot rope they'd scavenged from the hotel stockrooms around his waist, then took a running start at the side of the building. Jack sailed across the intervening gap to the next building nearly 20 feet away. With the hotel being the tallest structure in Hazard, the building next to it was only 2 stories tall. Jack was up in seconds, pulling the slack out of the rope as Dean fed it through to keep it clear.
The wag in the alley?
If we make a run for the horses Dean and Jack stashed, they're gonna hand us our heads.
Go!
Even with Jack tying the rope to the other side of the building below, the descent grade was steep.
Carter! We got an account to settle up!
Over here! They're trying to get off the building!
Mildred?
Mildred nodded and ran over to the side of the building facing the alley. She took careful aim with the ZKR. Ryan went to the front of the building, scouting for the wag with a rocket launcher. He spotted it with difficulty, but watched Wyatt waving it forward. Settling in behind the sights of the Steyr, Ryan aimed at the wag's front tires. The vehicle went out of control and slammed into the front of the general store. The men aboard scattered at once, bailing out with their equipment. Ryan sighted on the man carrying the rocket launcher. He then aimed directly at the RPG-7, but another jacker grabbed it and hauled it to safety.
Fire blast!
Ryan then turned the Steyr on the circus wag. Wyatt was completely hidden by the armored door, except for his hand holding it. Ryan grinned coldly, then sighted through the scope. Blood sprayed from Wyatt's hand as he withdrew back into the cab of the circus wag.
Handsome! You might want to think about coming up against me again! You're running out of fingers, you stupid bastard!
Ryan pushed up from the roof and ran to the alley side.
Get across the rope, Dean. You can help some of the others on the other side.
His son nodded, wrapped a leather thong around the rope, and jumped over the side.
Doc goes next. Then Mildred, Albert, Christy, JB. I'll bring up the rear.
My dear Ryan, truly I wish you had thought of another.
Get on with it, Doc. You gotta get someone chilled by hesitating.
Doc wrapped his leather thong around the rope, then leapt. Mildred, Albert, and Christy also leapt and slid down the rope to the next building. Just as Christy swung out over the alley, the first of the jackers reached the rooftop. Ryan threw himself to one side, then swept up the Sig Sauer from his hip.
Blow the building, JB!
JB nodded and jerked the radio control device from his jacket pocket. A huge section of the rooftop collapsed in the center of the hotel. JB took the rope and leapt into the alley. Ryan pushed himself to his feet, ignoring the painful scrapes he'd gotten on the side of his face and along one arm. He grabbed the Steyr and ran for the side of the building facing the hotel. Fires raged inside the hotel, licking at the gaily patterned curtains. At the side of the building, Ryan looked down and found the small wag still sitting below. One of the men was down, covered by a section of the building that had popped his skull like an overripe tomato blistered by the sun. The driver struggled to get out from under the debris. Ryan brought the Steyr to his shoulder. He then slipped his Ponga free.
Get Jack to pull the rope to the other side of the building. I'll get the wag. Bring it around over there and we can board.
I'll give what cover I can.
Ryan slashed through the rope with the Ponga, watching the free end jump away as he held on to the other end. He leapt upward and grabbed a fresh hold. The 20-foot span across the alley would put him closer to the ground. He leapt over the edge of the building and swung toward the hotel. 6 hour in hand, Ryan sprinted to the wag and yanked the dead driver from behind the wheel. Seating himself, he pressed the starter button patched onto the console in front of him. Men poured out of the hotel behind him, dust-covered and injured. From the looks of things, the Jackers were winning over Kirkland Sec forces. As Ryan drove around the building, a wag came at him from the left. The driver of the other vehicle fed more power to his machine, a reconditioned Jeep that had seen hard times. But Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and aimed at the man at almost point-blank range. Around the corner, Ryan found his friends taking up positions in the alley.
Come aboard!
The armorer took the shotgun seat, while the others piled in back. Ryan took the shortest course out of the bill, putting the accelerator to the floor.
My dear Ryan, I'm afraid we have not quite escaped the Ville without notice.
Ryan glanced over his shoulder, as the wag had no mirrors, and he spotted the wag pulling into their dust trail. Jack and Christy had already opened up on the vehicle. Then Dean joined a heartbeat later. Mildred was slower to join as she steadied her hands and used her keen eye to aim for the driver. The trailing wag slewed sideways, giving up the chase. Ryan kept his attention on the narrow twisting road. With luck, they would be back at the redoubt in under an hour. He glanced back at the Ville one last time, seeing how the streamers of black smoke were gathering above it.
That Ville was aptly named.
No! Needs a new name! Longer than the original! Maybe call it Hazardous!
Ah, young Master Cotter, your education has not been for naught, has it?
Ryan ignored the merriment in the back. The redoubt was tucked away so that most people couldn't find it, but Handsome Wyatt had been with Warwag One and the Traitor when they had looked for nothing else. And Ryan had to wonder if Hazard had been the only thing to bring the man to the area. 4 miles from the redoubt, the road had ended and was passable only on foot or by horseback.
Dust line headed this way.
JB squatted farther up the hill, binoculars to his glasses.
Didn't figure it would take them long to catch up. How far out?
4 miles, maybe five. The wind's blowing this way, so it might actually be a little ahead of them.
Are you sure it's them?
Ryan checked his gear. The ammo JB had scavenged from Tinker Phillips's gun shop had been split up on the way over.
Still got balloons tied to the bastard circus wag.
Thought they'd all be bust into firefight.
Such are the vagaries and whims of the gods.
Got no time to waste. Jack, Dean, take point. Figure we're operating on condition green, and nothing's gonna be ahead of us.
Both boys hurried ahead, already knowing where the redoubt was because they were in familiar territory.
Doc, you and the short men go next. Albert, if you can't keep up, you can't go. And Doc, if I see you trying to carry him this time, I'm gonna shoot you myself. Mildred, you and Christy go next. Walk a secondary drag. JB and I will bring up the rear a couple hundred yards behind. If we have to, maybe we can buy some time.
The 4 miles went quickly as they followed the sun to the west. Even Albert was able to stay the course. Looking behind him, Ryan watched a band of Jackers peel away from the wags. He counted 23 men in all, including Wyatt, who had one hand bundled up in bandages.
No way that bastard Stoop finished raiding Hazard before he came after us.
Kirkland's people could have managed to push the Jackers back out of the Ville.
You really think that happened?
No.
So that means he's burning up our back trail looking for a quick dose of get even.
Maybe. And maybe he talked to somebody about that anesthetic we brought in.
Could be he figures we found a major stockpile.
Man's making a big mistake leaving those wags with so few guards.
Well, let's just make sure we don't make any right along with them. The sooner we get back to that Matrans unit, the sooner we're out of here.
Ryan had to slow a little to give his friends the room they needed to reach the redoubt ahead of him and JB. If the armorer noticed that he was hanging back, he didn't say anything, but the decrease in speed allowed the Jackers to draw closer.
Gonna be a near thing.
Yeah, but we're on the downhill side of it now.
Ryan kept moving and kept his attention spread out across the forest. The grade was gradual now, sliding into the valley where the redoubt was housed. More than anything, Ryan needed sleep. Fatigue ate into his bones and joints like acid rain. Christie stepped into the small stream and followed it against the current to the base of the towering silver-leafed maple the companions had chosen as a marker to remember the trail. She carried her .38 in her fist. Liberty and his gang might no longer be a threat in the area, but they had spotted mutated beasts in the forest. Jack and Dean were far ahead of her. She glanced back in Ryan's direction, but didn't see him or JB.
They're okay. Would have been shooting if they hadn't been.
Christie nodded. Her sentient hair coiled tightly against her scalp. Perhaps it was from the cold, and maybe even from the dread of the coming jump. A trip through the Matrans chamber was never any of the companions' idea of a good time. She stepped out of the stream under the maple and walked along the bank. A little farther on, Christie and Mildred found Doc and Albert waiting beside the stream. Frogs were in the wide spillway beneath moss-encrusted boulders towering 30 feet above the ground.
Excuse me.
You did good, little man. This is rough country.
Been a rough life. Had to get hard or die. How much further?
We're here.
You gotta be joking.
Albert waved at the rock and trees surrounding them.
This is a box canyon. Those jackers following us will leave our corpses out here for the animals.
We won't be here by the time they get here.
Dean stood on a shelf of rock, 20 feet up the rock face. His Browning high power was in his hand. Christie noted with satisfaction that the hammer on the gun wasn't rolled back into the ready position.
They're still behind us. They'll be here in a couple of minutes. Jack, take us in. Condition yellow. Light up a torch. Christie, you take up a torch too. Make sure we can see where we're headed.
Christie followed Mildred, climbing up onto the rock to a narrow shelf just below where Jack and Dean stood. Both the boys had already disappeared into the crack that sundered the wall of rock from top to bottom. There had been a tunnel at one time, Christie knew, but it had most likely caved in after the new cost. However, even as warped nature had taken away, it had also provided in the form of the crack that ran deep into the heart of the hill. Christie turned sideways and eased into the crack. The dim sunlight, already blunted by the leafy canopy overhead, darkened quickly to full black. She felt her way along cautiously, using her muddy senses as well as her hands and feet.
When those jackers get here, all they're gonna have to do is cover us over.
My dear diminutive friend, trust in us and fear not, for this path truly is our salvation from this grievous situation we currently find ourselves embroiled in.
Still feel bad not knowing where we're headed.
Christie felt along the wall, glancing back in time to catch sight of Ryan filling into the crack behind her. Another dozen steps, and the constricting crack opened up. Light flared in front of Christie as Jack ignited the oil-based torch they had set up after their arrival. The redoubt hadn't been stocked much in the supply department. Everywhere they had looked, there had been signs of looting and scavengers who had known their business. They had, however, managed to find several useful items. A collection of skeletons remained below, three of them with their skulls bashed in.
Christie?
Jack held out another torch. The light from the one he carried lent a yellow parchment color to his features. Christie took the torch. The trail wound down again, going through a natural archway so low, all had to duck except for Albert. 30 yards farther on, the crack led into a concrete arm of the redoubt. The first glimpse of the metal housing occurred when the lantern's light gleamed from the opening ahead. Jack made the short drop into the access tunnel. He lifted his torch high to illuminate the interior. Christie scanned the access tunnel, matching what she saw with what the companions had left behind only a few days earlier. Debris lay scattered across the concrete floor, covering the metal tracks laid in grooves in some places. Nearly 20 feet across and almost that in height, the tunnel had to have been part of the supply zones back before the new cost. Christie went into the tunnel and stood by the opening to light the way for JB and Ryan, while Jack went on ahead. At the end of the tunnel, they found the large freight elevator they had used to ascend. Energized by nuclear power, the redoubt had survived the new cost and the 100-odd years that had followed Skydark, with every indication that it would continue functioning for hundreds more. If they had found the redoubt before it had been gutted, Christie knew it would have been a great find. The kind of find that had first set the trader in business all those years ago. The companions assembled in the elevator. JB manned the controls.
Everybody's on condition red. Wyatt and his jackers might find their way into the redoubt as well. And we don't know that this place is still empty. Keep your blasters out, but be sure you know what you're aiming at before you squeeze the trigger.
Ryan glanced at Christy. She shook her head, letting him know her muddy senses hadn't detected anything. The redoubt felt as lifeless as a crypt.
All right, JB, let's go.
Enclosed within the elevator cage, the smoke from the two torches quickly pooled against the ceiling, forming a black cloud. The elevator dropped through the bowels of the earth.
What's wrong, friend Albert?
Sick. Feels like I'm falling, but I see the floor right here.
This is your first time in an elevator, then.
Christy took a step away. Luckily, the freight elevator was large enough. None of them were too close together.
Read about elevators before. Never saw one until today. Never want to see one again.
You think the elevator bad? Wait till you get to the Matrans.
Everybody alert.
The companions tramped through the dust, Doc reaching down to hold the back of the dwarf's jacket to keep him upright. Christy probed the darkness with her muddy senses. Between her and Jack, she knew that most of anything that might be waiting for them in the darkness would be caught. Jack hugged the walls, following the blue line that marked the floor under the layers of dust. Every now and again he had to scuff his foot across the floor to make certain the line was still there. He correlated those with the marks put on the wall by the companions when they had come through the first time.
What is this place, Doc?
A long time ago, well before Skydark even, there was a government entity that operated under the aggrandized nomenclature of the Totality concept. They constructed these redoubts and stocked them with myriad things. The Matrans unit that we are seeking here was developed by a further division of secrets called Over Project Whisper under the code name Cerberus.
Oh, I heard of Cerberus before. Some kind of three-headed muty dog supposedly watching over hell. Called it Hades. The Greeks made up all the stories.
That is correct. And as it turns out, the name was most aptly placed because this Cerberus does open unto the very jaws of hell.
You know, there's one thing I always found curious about the Greek story.
What's that, dear fellow?
Well, they wrote about this hell like it was some kind of bad place.
Yes.
But, Doc, none of it really seemed as bad as what Deathlands turned out to be.
My friend, I believe that is because a healthy mind could not really envision how badly things could go for the human race once something like this happened.
Then Jack's torch lit up the door ahead of them. He keyed in the code at the vanadium door. The friends cast aside their torches as the redoubt was awash with cool fluorescent light.
Come on.
Jack led the way inside. They followed a twisting corridor, avoiding the other empty rooms they had found their first time through. From the way most of the rooms had been systematically stripped, Ryan and JB had speculated that the military personnel who had survived the new cost had evacuated the structure at some point. But what had become of them remained a mystery, like so many other things after the world had died. The end of the corridor opened into a large room that contained the Matrans unit. The chamber was hexagonally shaped, and metal discs set in the floor and ceiling glowed with a pulsating light. Thick armor-glass walls the color of fresh-cut jade shut them off from the Matrans unit.
What is that?
That is the very Maw of Perdition, like none you have ever seen, my little friend.
Oh.
Christy watched the dwarf and felt sorry for him. Doc could have gone on and elaborated more about what was going to happen to him once the transfer sequence was activated, but it would only have been cruel. When staying wasn't an option, a person had to go. Christy had gotten that from her mother, Sonia.
Everybody in.
The companions filed into the gateway and stripped off their gear, making themselves as comfortable as they could across the glowing metal discs set into the floor.
Is this another elevator, Doc?
No. I assure you, this grim piece of business is in no wise nearly as comforting as an elevator ride. Settle down as best you can, friend, because life as you know it, for a time, shall be over.
Albert glanced back through the jade armor-glass walls.
Well, maybe we should try to find another way, then.
There is no other way, Albert.
We came in the only way out.
Albert sat, stretching his legs before him, as he put his back to the armor-glass wall. Ryan shut the door to begin the jump, then hurried to Christy's side. Christy leaned in close to Ryan. Sometimes it helped if she touched her lover before they went under the Matran's effect.